from ABC News Radio, KMET 1490 in Southern California. This is Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio with your host, Tyler Jorgensen.
Welcome out to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio. I am your host, Tyler Jorgensen, and with us today is Ira Gostin, coming to us from the biggest little city in the world. Welcome out to the show.
Hey, I'm so thrilled to be here. Thanks.
Did I get that right? I always forget Reno's tagline.
Biggest little city, yeah.
So, Ira, you run 120 West, and tell us a little bit about, what's your elevator pitch? Who are you? What do you do?
Our purpose, we are a marketing and communications agency, and our goal is to really help businesses grow. And we have some niches. We do public relations, but we don't define ourselves as a public relations agency. We do investor relations, so I do work with some publicly traded companies, stakeholder engagement. And our way of doing PR is to really engage the entire audience and help them understand the message and help them understand what they're supposed to do now that they have the message, what that action is.
Interesting. So marketing is this amazing term that is just massively used right now. There's so many different marketing agencies. And just like there's starting to be a lot of different PR agencies, and there's so much overlap between one company's specialties and the next specialty and the next specialty. What would you guys say is yours and your company's like silver bullet? What's the thing that you guys just excel at?
Stakeholder engagement. So it's kind of a little bit of a buzz term. We, you know, nobody really knows what that means, but it's a conversation starter. And really what we do is we identify all of the stakeholders of a business, whether it's customers, employees, vendors. Sometimes the vendors get left out. They're a really great partner, but they don't have any idea what you do.
Interesting.
So we bring all of those people together and then develop channels to communicate the message directly to them. And that's what we do. So if it's investor relations where we're talking to shareholders, that's one way. If they're customers and we're feeding the sales funnel, that's another way. And we use whatever marketing and PR and communications tactics to get that across.
One of my all-time business like statements that I just love, call it a motto or a whatever you want to call it, is without vision, a people perish, right? And I think that's incredibly important for a company, right? Like your employees need to know what's going on. And it sounds like you help everybody in the business, from these employees to the vendors even, understand the vision of the company. Am I hearing that right?
Yes, absolutely. And making sure that the vision is communicated, because that's that big picture, but all of the micro elements. So everybody might understand what the vision is and they get the macro, but they don't really understand what their piece is. So, I like the vendor piece, because I've worked with some small business owners where they have all of these stakeholders that they don't ever talk to. So they're trying to expand into a new market, and it's, well, wait a minute, are you talking to all your, well, I don't even know who our stakeholders are.
Right.
I worked on the corporate side for a while. I took a break from my entrepreneurial journey and had a corporate job. And we did a lot of stakeholder development. And I worked closely, not in the corporate social responsibility area, but communicating what that team was doing to shareholders. So I really picked up a lot of that CSR talk. And the CSR world uses the term stakeholder all the time. Okay. But I think small businesses are so important to do that.
Yeah, that term is new to me. Use the way you're describing it. And I'm already in love with it, because especially in like a small to medium business, your stakeholders, meaning, or your vendors and your strategic partners, and are like the lifeblood to your company. And what's crazy is if you're doing something, let's say you have a big new ambition, some new goal, and those people don't know what that is, you may be leaving their best skills dormant. Because you may not even realize, like, if I've actually had it happen, right? Where I say, oh yeah, we're looking to start doing X in our business. And they're like, that's actually our specialty. I'm like, oh, but you've been helping me with something else. Like, yeah, that's our like third level thing. Our main thing is what you're trying to do now. And if you
absolutely
don't have that conversation, you can leave all these talents just completely untapped.
And you know, if you look at like, let's just take an imaginary company. You've got a $3 to $5 million a year manufacturing firm. They've been in the, it's been in the family. They're making widgets. The whole family works there. So, you know, that's a pretty good entrepreneurial path manufacturing company. And they have a vision to grow and expand. And, but they've got all these partner vendors that come in. They've got suppliers that supply raw materials, and they take that raw material from that supplier and manufacture it and turn it into this amazing widget. And usually the conversation is, you know, once a year at the supplier's Christmas party and making sure the invoices get paid. But if you sit down with that supplier and treat them like a partner, a stakeholder, and help them, you know, be a part of the conversation of where you want to go, it's almost like having an advisory board member, because they do have such a huge stake in your success. You add another manufacturing line, you triple gross revenue, you're buying more product from your supplier.
Yeah,
it's such an overlooked thing. So
yeah, I totally agree. I'm having like 700 light bulbs. And like, because you're so right. Like, and really, you know, you also have that happen sometimes where the small guy is like upset, like, man, this company won't even work with me until I'm, you know, doing a certain amount of revenue. And that's so frustrating, because how am I ever going to get there if these guys won't work with me? But so when you do find the people who are willing to work with you when you're at your current level, like to be able to grow and help them grow their stake, right, and grow the benefit of having worked with you, that's a symbiotic relationship that has to be nurtured. And so how do you guys do that in from a strategic standpoint?
So the first thing we do is we kind of come up with a plan. We're big strategy builders. And, you know, I did go get an MBA. Was really beneficial to me. I don't make big giant binders. If I can't do a strategy in two or three pages, then, you know, my journalism background has gone to garbage. So we come up with a path, and every business is going to be different. We've got hospitality clients that, you know, they have a specific need that's kind of similar, but overlap a little bit. We've got a tech financial company, has totally different needs on what, how they communicate and what they communicate. Part of our business also comes from my corporate job, which was in the precious metals mining space. So while it looks like we're all over the place, we have really cool clients, and yeah, we get to tell some really fun, cool stories. So, a publicly traded company has totally different needs, because you have shareholders. You don't just have, but you still have those suppliers and vendors and employees. Yeah. And so those are all important. So we identify, there's kind of a three-step process. The first step process is, what are we trying to say? So many companies, and I don't care if you are a solopreneur and you are selling something out of the back of your car. If you don't know what your message is, you have to stop, take a minute, figure that out, because that's so important. It's the elevator pitch on steroids. You have to know what you do.
Yep.
So that's the first thing. And then the second part, which is equally important, is who buys what you do? Who needs that product or service? What is your audience? And the third part is, what action do you want them to take? So now that you know who your audience is, so how many times have we all, and this has happened to all of us, that, you know, you're driving down San Diego Freeway and you see this amazing billboard. It's just the coolest thing you've ever seen. And assuming it's not 4:50 in the afternoon where you get to study it for an hour, you've gone past it and you realize you have no idea what that billboard was about. It was cool, but what was it? I don't even know what it was. Well, they got the creative down, but they didn't get the messaging down. So
they may have targeted who they want, like who you want to buy your stuff. But if you don't have a clear message and or in a clear call to action, it's just this I mean, really.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's entertainment. Oh, I saw the coolest thing today. What was it? I don't remember.
Who was behind it? I don't know. So I'm going to.
Those three things.
Yeah, I'm going to rewrap those three. Yeah. Things. I think they're really important. So what are you trying to say? What's the core message? Who is your customer? Who buys what it is you're doing or selling? And what do you want them to do? What's the main action you want them to take? So you guys start with that, really looking at creating a strategy around that. So I've heard, and I'm kind of playing into this, that PR is dead, right? That everything is just social and digital ads now. So talk to me about, is PR dead?
No, it's not. I had to pause there for a second because I was trying to think of some cynical comment and I didn't come up with one. So no, PR is not dead. Now, the part that is dead is the, oh, gee, I have a press release. I'm going to go feed it into the fax machine and fax it all over the country. And right. I'm going to get all of this great, great feedback and great play. And so we do press releases all the time. And it's pretty funny when we get interns or new employees that are fresh out of school. They're like, wow, they're telling us that the press release is dead. And it's like, you still have to have a thing to put the information on. So, you know, if you're right, you know, if I'm pitching your show that you need to do a story on my client, I still need to give you a thing that's got all the info on it.
Yep.
So it could be a press release or a fact sheet or a one sheet or whatever it is. Yeah. You still have to have a document.
Right.
What you do with that is the piece where I think that public relations professionals, and we use the term strategic communications because that's really what we do. PR is a tactic. A press release and public relations is one piece out of our toolbox.
Right.
You still have to really craft the message and tell that company story. And that's what we do. We're storytellers. We're corporate storytellers.
So the press release in its old form has evolved better than saying it's died. It's evolved. Like you used to be able
Absolutely.
To send out a press release and get press. Now you may still need that, but the level of strategy that you need in order to actually get a result from that has increased in its complexity and sophistication.
And it's piggyback to that sophistication is relationship building. So you don't just have a blind address that you send a press release to.
Yeah.
You target a writer at a publication or a journalist, and you look at the things that they do. And this isn't some big secret. You know, any entrepreneur can do that. It's like, wow, I really liked this article in Entrepreneur Magazine, and find out who that writer is. And send them an email and say, wow, you should talk to me about my business because I've done some really cool things with this. Tell your story.
So I think the big shift is the fact that we now live in a connected economy, right? So it used to be that you'd send these faxes and that was as personal as you needed to be because there wasn't all of these other resources to stay connected. But now, like I can jump on LinkedIn. I can see that you and I have mutual connections. If I'm trying to get a hold of your company, why would I just send you a fax when I can be like, hey, we have a mutual friend. Let me see if that guy can introduce us and deliver that one sheet for me. Because now we have that deeper connectivity, right? The digital Rolodex that has now become all of these social media platforms allows us to have a much more richer communication. So you can't use the old, you know, shotgun approaches. We can use lasers now. But why?
Yeah.
My thing is, why wouldn't you want to use lasers, right? If you're choosing between shotguns or lasers, it's going to be lasers every day.
It's the point-to-point communications is so funny. And I have to tease you for a second. I said the word Rolodex to a university student last week, and the blank look on his face was, I go, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, do you? And he goes, no.
We're at the point of now if we're going to use this analogy, we have to pre-frame it with a slide and a picture. We have to say, this is how business used to be done. And I grew up in that era that really bridged the no tech to all tech.
Right.
But a lot of people, not that, you know, they're getting old now too, but just a little bit younger than me don't have any idea on a lot of that stuff.
But it's so cool. The ability to stay in touch with our personal network now is greater than ever. And that's a really cool thing.
So let's back up a little bit in your journey and go back to the beginning. When was the first time that Ira realized maybe I'm not a traditional like employee kind of guy? Maybe when was the first time you realized you're more of an entrepreneur?
So I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area in the East Bay, and I wanted to be a newspaper photographer. So I was 14 years old and was a contributing photographer to a weekly newspaper in Lafayette, California. And I had my bicycle outfitted with my camera case and my police scanner. And and I would just tootle around Lafayette and shoot pictures for the newspaper. And I mean, literally the first time my picture ran in the paper with my name underneath it, I was hooked. And the day I got my driver's license, I then went over to the Contra Costa Times, which was the daily newspaper in our area, and with my little portfolio. And I was a freelancer for them for years. And then when I had a couple of great breaks and all of a sudden I was freelancing for the Associated Press, I just realized that, you know, I am always going to be self-employed. That freedom and the control of direction resonated with me. I didn't really know it at the time and understood it, but that's sort of where it took off. And I've had, I think, three real jobs in my life. The rest of the time I've been doing my own thing, and here I am back to it again, and very happy about that.
So what did you learn from photography that you apply now into your business?
Organization, juggling. Okay. When I worked for the Associated Press in Southern California, you never knew what day you were going to have. You know, I told people I had three duffel bags in the back of my car. I had my body armor, my fire gear, and my tuxedo. And that's LA. That's news in Southern California. And you never quite know where you're going to go. But that means being organized and setting clear goals. And, you know, those are the takeaways now in hindsight. Always staying a participant and observing. And really my journalism background gave me one really key tool now, especially where I feel more like a business person now, is a sense of curiosity. How can I do this better? How might I fulfill this? And that's what I love about having a diverse client base, is we're not, we don't have a narrow niche where, you know, we only work with widget manufacturers and I'm never going to do anything. What we look at is this client somebody that we can really help grow?
Yeah, I think I really liked that term that you use, remaining a participant, right? I think so often, especially for some reason with entrepreneurs, well, frankly, it happens even more in the workplace where people hit a certain level of success and think that they should stop learning. Like, well, if I'm an expert now, there's nothing else for me to learn. And I think that's one of the saddest things that happens in anybody's professional journey, is thinking that they're at a point where they can't learn something from the intern, or that they're not going to go out and seek new information. And so that remaining a participant and really feeding that curiosity, I think, is vital to maintaining momentum and growth as an entrepreneur.
I have a mentee every year from the University of Nevada School of Journalism, the Reynolds School, and I love that. It's a cool thing. We get together for once a week for coffee, and you know, I learn as much as they do. Their perspective on what we do, and it's just a different thing. And you know, I get some of that from our kids, but really, it's. You know, it's that asking questions. What do you think of this? Hey, here's an ad. What is your feedback on this? And I love that part.
That's cool. What's something else that you would like? What's something that you find that you probably every single year with these mentees that you have? What's that recurring advice that you give to either budding journalists or budding entrepreneurs?
I think the overlap is pretty significant, is know how to tell a story. I've met with entrepreneurs and they're not comfortable telling the story of their business. That's so important, and you have to rehearse it. You know, you have to do it in front of the mirror or videotape it or get some feedback and, be able to tell that story, make it interesting. People want to hear what you're about. That's the one time where people, you know, if you're standing talking to somebody or, on a video call, people will stop looking at their phone long enough to hear you give your elevator pitch. And the elevator pitch is just the pointy end.
Right.
That's just the start. The more the constant that you're interesting and the more that you can hold their attention, the better storyteller you are. And I don't mean storytelling like spinning a yarn where it's some right. ridiculous fabrication. Just telling about what you do and who you are. So I think that as a journalist, whether they go into PR or advertising or print journalism or broadcast, you still have to be able to tell a story. And entrepreneurs need that as well.
Big time. Big time. And I think that comes all the way back to your 3 points of the first one, know what you're trying to say. And I think every entrepreneur needs to have their elevator pitch crafted into five or six stories so that they have 5 or 6 go-to stories that if there's a Facebook Live or if they have an opportunity to speak or if they have an opportunity, you know, something happens and they're presented with a moment. They need to be able to dig into that repertoire and have 2 or 3 at least ways to tell the story of what their company is and what it does. That isn't just we're a company in this market that does this, right? That creates a story around that. And so knowing what you're trying to say and then, you know, crafting that around who the right people are, who are the listeners and what the action is you wanted to do. So I think that's knowing how to tell a story is really, really important. It's something I'm working on, right? And because I've always enjoyed my show because I get to just get you to tell stories, right? but it's vital. And I think especially for the entrepreneur who wants their company to grow, they've got to learn how to communicate that in multiple ways.
And then, the growth is the next level is you're telling that story, you're running your business, but now it's time to grow it. And especially in the way that this economy is running right now and the speed, you have to constantly be looking at that. So, being an entrepreneur means being a master juggler, and yeah. you don't ever get to be the guy that does the thing that got you into business to start. You have to be the CEO, you have to be the CFO, you have to be the head of HR, you have to be the head of marketing, and each has its own time constraints that are required. So,
but can you imagine, like, it is so taxing and exhausting to do that if you don't have a clear goal and a clear vision of what you're even trying to do. Right. And it blows my mind how many entrepreneurs, their entire goal is, my goal is to make money. Or even, they may even have a dollar amount defined, but then they haven't broken that down into actual things they're going to do, created a clear vision of what they're willing to give up. And will do, because I think one of the biggest challenges is for entrepreneurs and professionals in general is, in order to get somewhere new, you have to abandon who you are now, right? You have to be willing to abandon that. And that's a real level of vulnerability, because there's going to be people that are comfortable with where we are now, that know us as we are now. And as we grow to be that next level, some of those people are going to have resistance to that. And that you have to be willing to face that resistance and that negativity of people trying to keep you as they know you. And it's just humans' desire to have constant in their life, right?
I went through that when I in 2000, when I decided that I had already kind of transitioned out of journalism, out of photojournalism into kind of freelance corporate. I was shooting annual reports for some Fortune 500 companies, working with their communications team. But with digital coming on, being in a smaller market in Reno, he's like, okay, do I want to move back to LA? What do I really want to do? And in the meantime, I had started up another side business that was doing marketing programs for photographers. So I traveled around the country and was running that. And really what I decided I wanted to do was go into more business level type work, and required me what I felt was going and getting an MBA, and which isn't a normal path for entrepreneurs, but I wanted that understanding of the numbers and the ability to work in those things. So during that period of time, I kind of quit my life and got a job at Starbucks. And I worked as an assistant manager at Starbucks at 45, I think, and then went to grad school. And so during this transition, I had several of those things where I didn't fit in the box that people had always put me in. Right. I was changing and evolving, and all good.
Yeah, and it takes, you know, if you don't have a vision for that change, then when you get that resistance, you'll retract. But if your vision is clear, you're willing to do whatever it takes to get over there. So I'm excited that you did that and that you've made it to where you are now. What is Ira's next big goal?
My next big goal is to be thinking about where this agency goes. We're growing and trying to grow this business. At some point, you know, I'm going to start taking it a little bit easy, and we have another, my wife and I have a business together. We have a property business. I don't see myself actually retiring ever. I see myself having things and deals that I'm doing, and probably not wearing a tie as often. You know, living in Reno, you know, we can have our kayaks in Lake Tahoe in 45 minutes from our house. That's a pretty good quality of life, and cool. That's good stuff. So
I love it. I ask everyone this because I think business is about life, and it sounds like you're close to this question, but the question is, what's one major item on your bucket list, like big thing that you're going to do in the next 12 months?
So my next vacation goal like that, I have some places that I want to go, but I would love to take all the kids and the grandson and everybody to Italy and rent a villa and just hang out there for 3 weeks or four
Very
weeks.
Cool.
So that's, with being a connected world now, I can, you know, you just get up a little earlier or stay up a little later, communicate to the U.S.
Yeah.
But that would be a goal that is on that list. I'm not sure if it's 12 months or 18, but it's on the list.
I love it. Very cool. Well, Ira, thank you so much for going out or coming out to the show. You can be found where?
www.120west.biz. And you can read all about us there. And I'm on LinkedIn and all those other places. So,
awesome.
Thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me on the show, Tyler. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Now, my biz ninjas, wherever you're listening or watching, it is your turn to go out and do something.
Thank you for listening to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio with Tyler Jorgensen. Please make sure to subscribe so you're first to hear new interviews and episodes. If you found this podcast to be valuable, please share it with a friend. Don't forget to visit our online dojo at bizninja.com to claim your reward for listening to the show.